In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. You know, I've been a lifelong Episcopalian. I was baptized at about 3 months old. I grew up in this denomination. I've done a lot of things. I know Episcopalians. I'll tell you one thing. If you really want to scare Episcopalians, I can do it with one word. It's the E word. Now you might wonder, what is the E word? Well, you know the E word. The E word conjures up signboards and waving a big floppy Bible and knocking on doors. Can you imagine? Would you like a free book of the Common Prayer? Well, the E word sounds like something from another tradition. One that we've pushed up against, or many have run away from. But the reality is that this word is not about what we think it is. The reality is the E word is about proclaiming our faith. It is about recognizing the grace that each and every one of us have been given, and then bringing others to share in that grace. Of course, what am I talking about when I say the E word? Evangelism. That was a very interesting dynamic with Episcopalians and evangelism. Because I see people of our tradition being people of a very deep faith. Episcopalians are very thoughtful people. We're people committed to justice and making God's kingdom a reality here on earth. But to tell others about that faith, or especially to rub it in others' faces, well, that would just be tacky. And you know, there is one thing Episcopalians are not, is tacky. Well, we're confronted today with this very funny gospel story. This gospel story about John the Baptist. John the Baptist is out preaching. And while he's preaching, it seems to give us the impression that Jesus just kind of happens by. And John says, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." And can you imagine Jesus just kind of go, "Huh? What?" But it happens twice. "Look, here is the Lamb of God." But you have to wonder what it was that Jesus was thinking about when he was called out like that. What was going through his mind? But even a bigger question, you have to wonder what John's disciples thought, what they were thinking when they first heard this. Could this guy really be the Messiah? The one the prophets have been telling us about for hundreds of years? Could it really be him? Well, clearly, some of John the Baptist's disciples believed it. And we hear about Andrew. Andrew, having heard John declare that this is the Lamb of God, he decided he needed to see for himself. So he goes and he follows Jesus. And then once he saw what was happening, then Andrew began to proclaim it. And Andrew went to his brother Simon and he says, "We have found the Messiah." It's almost this childlike excitement. Have you ever had this experience where, especially as an adult, it's sort of funny, where you meet a child and the child decides that she or he wants you to be their friend? And then they are saying, "Hey, come see my toys. Hey, come meet my friends." That's the kind of childlike excitement we get here. You could almost imagine Andrew grabbing Jesus by the arm, dragging him over and saying, "Hey, look what I found. Look what I found." And showing him to his brother. But then something really interesting happens. Then the whole tenor of this story changes because Jesus has this interaction with Simon. And Jesus, upon seeing Simon, says to him, "You are Simon, son of God, son of John." It's almost this instant recognition. "I know you. You are Simon." We don't have any indication that Simon was particularly famous. The other Gospels explain that he's a fisherman, a day laborer. Nothing exciting. He wasn't a king. He wasn't a politician. He wasn't anybody involved with the synagogue. He was just some guy. But Jesus doesn't see that in Simon. In Simon, Jesus doesn't see a nobody. In fact, Jesus sees somebody truly special. And he says to Simon, "You are to be called Cephas," which is translated into Greek as Peter. Now, I don't know why our Bible decides to tell us it was translated as Peter. The word just means rock. And you might wonder, why did Jesus choose this name? It's a good question. Maybe it's because Jesus saw him as someone who would be solid. Could be he knew how he was going to sink when he tried to walk on water. But it might also be that Jesus knew that Peter would eventually declare Jesus as the Messiah, and on that declaration would be the rock on which Jesus would build the church. It could be any one of those things. We really don't know. What we do know is this. What this gospel reading tells us is about something really special. And that is passing on the gift of Christ. John the Baptist knew Jesus his whole life. He grew up with Jesus. He was with Jesus at the baptism. John knew who he was. And because John knew who Jesus was, he received a great gift. And when John received that gift, he then passed that gift on to Andrew. And when Andrew received that gift, then he passed that gift on to Peter. And then when Peter received that gift, Peter went out and passed it on to the world. We don't know what this was about, but we do know about Peter that he would become one of the most important apostles. Later, Peter would be responsible for helping the church become a place for Gentiles. We heard a couple weeks ago in the reading from Acts, where Peter declares, "I know that God shows no partiality. This is a church for the world." Peter would be one who would eventually write letters that would become books in the Bible. And Christian tradition holds that eventually Peter would go to Rome and die for his faith. This story is about passing on that gift. And this is what proclaiming our faith is about. Proclaiming our faith is not about declaring how good of Christians we are. It's not about patting myself on the back, saying, "Hey, look at me, and if you aren't as good as me, well, there's a warm place waiting for you." You know, that never really convinced anyone. What proclaiming our faith is about, it's about transforming ourselves, becoming new in Christ, and then others being able to see this transformation and showing others how they too can receive this gift. St. Paul says, in the first letter to the Corinthians, which we heard a bit of today, he says, "I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus." Now listen to that. I give thanks to God because of the grace that was given to you. It's kind of like how we receive that grace. And Paul goes on to say, "For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ." We are all recipients of this gift of grace. And for this grace, we live lives of gratitude. That's what being a Christian is about. It's about gratitude. And that gratitude should be clear to others. The gifts of grace that we have received cannot be hoarded. They can't be kept. But they must be shared. And that is what evangelism is about. The word evangelism literally means sharing the good news. And as we have been recipients of this good news, as Christ has done so much for us, let us now bring that good news and that gift to the world. Amen.